And we're back.
We're back for episode 7, lucky number 7. It's a prime number.
Yeah. 7.
It's also Ron Jaworski's number.
That's right.
Jaws. I was going to say that.
Anyway, of the Vibecast, the podcast celebrating the 20-plus year history of the Philadelphia band Chico's Vibe. I'm your host, John Parkinson. I'm here, as always, with producer Matt Kelly. Matt, this lucky number 7 episode, it gets us through the end of February 2022, and it's...
Yeah, but I think
it's fair to say it's been a little bit of a tough winter. I mean, you know, there's a war going on in Ukraine right now, stock market crash, but, you know, we got through Omicron. We're kind of getting through that. Spring's on the horizon. We've got St. Patrick's Day coming up.
Yep.
But I think it's fair to say, I think you guys will agree what the world needs now. As the song goes, it's a little love, sweet love.
That's right.
And Matt, we have just the guys to bring that. We have in front of us these guys. They're aware. They're not afraid of the Ides of March. These guys are the number one seeds in the tourney for the March Music Madness. These guys put the rock in Shamrock.
Oh,
yes, because we have with us the kings of Irish music.
That's, I like that one.
Chico and Gebbie, Dennis Cicchino, and John Gephardt, and... to keep the Irish stuff going, we have the Irish assassin himself.
Yes,
the Crimson Crusader. The Guardian of Galway Bay. The Gallant Gaelic. The Red Rocker. Coogee Mount. And the kings of Irish music, Chico and Gebbie. Thank you, everyone. Welcome back to episode 7.
Thank you, Mr. Parkinson. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I thought we'd... for our loyal podcast listeners, I thought we'd run through, you know, in reverse order what we're going to talk about today. We're going to sort of wrap it up with our song from the set list, which this week's going to be Love Shack, that was picked by Dennis Cicchino last episode.
Yeah.
Hopefully I got that right. We're going to have our special guest, drummer extraordinaire of Chico's Vibe, Brian Farr.
Woo!
We're going to have a quick segment. I should have had you do a timer for this, because the last time we did a lightning round, it took us... it took us about 45 minutes. We've been talking about our popular... almost, I'll call them iconic Chico's Vibe songs from the set list. But, you know, as you guys know, there's a lot of songs that are deep in the set list. So I thought we'd do a quick lightning round, sort of like a Siskel and Ebert thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I stole that idea from Ed Mount, so I have to keep it. But first off, since St. Paddy's Day is coming up, and since I know
it's
been confirmed to me recently via email that you guys are the kings of Irish music, and we have Ed Mount with us, I thought we would talk about Irish music. Just talking about traditional Irish music that you guys like, how you guys became the kings of Irish music. I'm very curious to hear what Eddie Mount, what his favorite traditional Irish songs are. And maybe we can talk about, you know, Irish artists that we play, their songs we'd like to play. So there's all kinds of things we could talk about. It might take 7 minutes, but still. I was wondering how, particularly you, Dennis O'Chick and John Gaelicart, how you guys became the kings of Irish music. So I don't know if you can give us any background on that.
It started years ago at the Ivy Inn.
That's right. Oh, my God. I forgot about that place. That was right next to the Oakmont.
Yes. One of my favorite St. Paddy's memories, which I talk about.
To the Oakmont.
Yeah, it was like right next to the Oakmont Pub, wasn't it?
Burke's, you're thinking.
Oh, that's Burke's.
Oh. The one down on Brookline Boulevard.
Gab, I was with you. I knew you.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember where it was. All right.
They asked us to play on St. Patrick's Day. Me and Doc were playing there every week. We did like a vertical.
Right.
And then they asked us to play on St. Patrick's Day.
Wait, can you step back? We did a vertical? What is that?
He did. Straight, just the
every
same,
week.
Oh,
same
I didn't
night.
Know. See this? This every musician's week. Lingo I didn't know until now.
It's like I didn't know the reaction video.
Right.
He thought we were talking about Vertigo again.
Like Jimmy Stewart?
I could go all the way back to St. Dennis.
Do it.
Because.
We can always edit. Talk about whatever you want.
Yeah, I had about 10 Italian kids and 7,000 Irish kids in St. Dennis. So every year when St. Patrick's Day came around, we had to, like, an Irish play. We learned Irish songs. We had these three girls at St. Dennis. They would come around. They were like, did Irish dancing. Yeah. They went to the opera. They had the outfits and the whole thing.
Yeah, yep.
I do really
they
like
would
that.
Come around to each classroom. So I don't know how many that is. It's 8 times 3 is 24. We had 24 classes. But they would come around with their little phonograph, and they would do 3 dances. A fling, a reel, and a jig, I guess. 3 different songs. And every St. Pat's Day, you know, we sat through these 3 girls doing their dance. Then they move on to the next class. And we knew all these Irish songs because the nuns taught us Irish songs. And that's where I started learning Irish songs. So they were in my head, bunches of them. So when we got to 8th grade, the 8th, Sister Sarah Marie...
Stay on task.
She must have taken like Irish dancing when she was little, because we put on a big play that all the 8th graders, like half of the grade were dancers, half were singers. I was a dancer.
I forgot what the question was.
I didn't see that one coming. This is
can I interject? God truth.
What the hell are we talking about?
You told me he's going to go to me first.
What was the question?
But I'm talking about my Irish, how I became the king of Irish music.
I just got a text. I haven't been home in a week.
So
we're starting to get worried.
Fast forward 30 years, 25 years. And they asked me and Doc to play at the Ivy Inn, and I grabbed Gebby to do it because I knew I wasn't going to play songs without a piano. And I don't know, we went in with maybe, I don't know, 25 songs or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's how it started.
That's it.
Do you have a favorite? You guys have a favorite Irish song to play?
No, I absolutely don't.
I up at the same time.
I like Fields of Athenry. Yeah, I like that one. The unicorn song.
I'm Rumber, I'm Gumber, I'm a long ways from home. And if you don't like me, then leave me alone. You know that one?
Whiskey in a Jar.
Whiskey in a Jar. What's the Muscles song?
The one you're just singing. You don't like me, then leave me alone.
That was Ed.
That's I'll drink when I'm thirsty. I'll eat when I'm dry.
Right.
The whiskey. Don't kill me, I'll live till I die. Which one is that?
The I forget.
They all have whiskey in them, every title.
Whiskey in a Jar.
They do. Yes, so. They do.
But what's the Muscles song?
Cockles and Muscles.
Cockles and Muscles.
Oh, right, okay.
It's Sweet Molly Malone.
Yeah. Sweet Molly Malone, yeah.
Yeah, she was a fishmonger.
And of course, Oh Danny Boy. That's we can't forget about Old Danny Boy.
Okay, I'm safe.
That's right. That's where that
going
came from.
Back to a previous episode.
Podcast
episode. And from that moment on, I had to play St. Patrick's Day every year of my life. Then people, you know, that come around and see all the bar owners start. Oh yeah, Dennis Chiquino does Irish music, and Gebby had to come with me every single time.
Yes,
that's when like Peter Goggins spilled the beer.
Oh yeah,
onto
the piano. Yeah. And I kept telling him, move the drink. Can you move the drink?
He was, dancing on the bar. He was the owner of the bar.
He did. He moved it from the top octave to the low octave.
Yeah. He kicked it.
I love Peter Goggins.
It's like a
man.
Thing of whiskey or something. I
and then he almost did it again.
Yeah. I was going to kill him. My father, of course, played with Vince DiAngelo, and they did all the St. Denis shows going back to like the... I'd say, what, the 50s, 60s?
Probably the late 50s.
Yeah, something like that. So they did all that Irish stuff, you know, at St. Paddy's. They would have, you know, because St. Denis used to have parties all the time.
All the time.
You know?
Yeah.
And so growing up in the household, there was, you know, we played Irish music. Not that we played Irish music all the time, but, you know, with the string band and his bands. I got all that from him.
Well, I mean, the two of you, all three of you guys... hear songs, you learn them, and you know them, and you remember them. You guys are amazing that way. So I think, so you heard the Irish songs, and you guys learned them, and you can play them all the time. I envy that, because it's not how
it's,
I work.
It's a burden.
But yeah.
It's a burden.
It was sheer drudgery to me for my Irish friends out there.
So
learn new Irish songs. I mean, I knew the ones from St. Denis, and, you know, the Irish Eyes, and... McNamara's band. But then I had to increase my repertoire because, it, like you're saying, it's a 33rd county. I was surrounded by Irish bars.
Yeah.
In,
yes.
Growing up in Ardmore and
Havertown. How many Irish songs do you know? Rough guess.
100.
Oh, yeah. That's fair. One of my favorite St. Patrick's memories is it's you guys and Doc. It was at the Oakmont Pub when it was the Oakmont
Pub. Greatest.
It was John McKeever memory.
Yes. One of the greatest moments
in St. Patty's history.
In St. Patty's
Havertown, yeah.
Yeah.
Now set the scene, Phil.
Yeah, you guys will set it better than I will.
Set the scene up.
Well, there was actually like two parts to that.
Yeah.
Okay, tell them both.
We think he sat him.
Yeah. Well, it was St. Patty's night. We had played earlier in the day with Hoey.
Yeah, we had a wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And we booked out of the wedding. It was in Philly, yes, and got up to the exactly. Oakmont Pub. Doc was there. So I get in there and set up. I'm on all the way up against the bar. You were next to me in the middle, yeah, and Doc was on the end by the front door.
Underneath the big wooden
so
Indian.
The place is packed when
was,
we get
yeah,
in there.
I was there
completely
eventually, yeah.
Packed. And we're playing, doing our thing, and then here comes John and Vicky McKeever. Both of them were feeling no pain, but John was really feeling no
yes.
pain. And it was funny because he was like having trouble staying
standing.
Vertical. Yes. And so Vicky, when you walked in the front door, there was like to your left, there were all these booths. So there was a wall, like kind of a half wall
the
right up by
of,
the front
it was
door.
The back of
the back of the
yeah.
booth.
So you could, a corner.
So, and sometimes a bouncer or somebody would sit there. So Vicky grabs John, grabs a stool, puts the stool right up against that little half wall. Puts him in the chair like, now you stay here and don't move. And he sits down in that chair. So here in Havertown during the night while we're playing, there's like a crawl going on. So there's all these people and they're being led by two bagpipers.
Yeah.
And they're coming around, they're hitting all the bars and like Kilgallen's and you know all those places on Darby
in,
Road.
Yeah.
Did you hear the drone first?
Oh, wait, stick with it.
So we're playing, you know, we're playing whatever. And then out of our like peripheral vision, we could see the door open and here comes two bagpipers, you know.
First
so we
point,
just
yeah.
kind of settled down. We stopped playing. The place is going nuts now. So the bagpiper
comes by,
passes John McKeever. Well, that perks him up. He hears that. He sees it. And then he's like, I'm going to get up. And he stands up as the second bagpiper's coming by. Well, when he stands up, he realizes, I can't stand up anymore. And he goes down on his knees and then forward onto the ground, onto the bagpiper. So you're hearing like, all the air goes out of the bagpipe.
Broke the bagpipe.
Oh, my God.
I remember he couldn't and get the pipes going.
He
continued to fall into Doc Strong. His amp and his guitar.
And, oh, my God, it was epic. It was epic. And Doc was, remember, he went on for 10 minutes
yeah.
on the mic.
He's
just
the greatest.
Joke after joke. And we were dying, laughing. Oh, my God. All respect to John McKeever,
because
it was the greatest moment of my life.
Oh, my. It was one of the best falls of all time. We saw another great fall on another St. Patrick's
same place.
Night with Big Clarky.
With Pat.
Was that the Round Mound of Sound?
Yes.
Yes.
I was
on that gig because he took out like three people.
Well, he took the Addish out of him.
He's a big guy.
It was like the magic bullet. It went through, you know.
That was me, you, and Yaddish on
left.
That one.
Oh, okay, Yaddish.
Yaddish was on that gig with us.
He was so drunk. I think he came in
it
with Mike.
It looked
Lyon,
like
right?
a dance move. It looked
yes,
like an
it was
old.
Was like,
it looked like an
a
old
pirouette.
It was like a pirouette. Like,
and then it was like.
Oh my God! He still apologizes to me every time. Yeah. I say, such a nice guy.
And the best was it was John Yaddish. So you know how John.
Why is this person falling on me? Why is this person falling on me?
Right into his music stand.
Oh,
boom.
No.
Down. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So,
yeah, in terms of Irish artists, there's not. I did some research, you know, like Irish pop bands, rock bands.
The Pogues.
The Pogues, yes. On the list, but we don't do any Pogues.
Yeah, we do.
What?
We learned one.
Well, I didn't know we learned a Pogues song.
Yes, we did.
Yes,
we
did. I didn't
one
know.
Song.
I didn't say we did.
Something of Soho.
We learned it.
A rainy night. A rainy night in Soho.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Rainy night in Soho.
I know the Pogues, there's a Pogues Christmas song. It's called Fairy Tale of New York. That's oh. You guys have probably heard it, but that's the only Pogues song.
No, okay. I never heard it. No.
Yeah. But then there's Van Morrison. We do number of Van Morrison songs.
We do Moondance, Irish style.
Way. He's a very, yes! very prolific songwriter.
Oh, he's a prolific.
prolific.
But he's probably the most frequently played Chico's Vibe.
Yes.
Irish.
Yes.
Definitely.
And we have done U2.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know. Dexy's Midnight Runners. Are
yeah, they're Irish.
They're Irish.
Okay, yeah.
And we do
the
that.
Cranberries.
Yeah, Cranberries. The
Cranberries is an Irish band.
I'm starting to run out of my list. The Boomtown Rats
okay.
are another one.
Yep.
Ed Mount, any final Irish moments from your legacy?
It first started with learning them for St. Monica's marching band because we would march in the Philadelphia St. Patrick's Day
Parade.
And there's a VHS somewhere of me playing Harrigan. Like into my father's ear as he's sitting and trying to relax, and I'm going, and I don't have the song completely down yet, so it's like da 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 da, 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 da. And then the part that I had really well was na 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 na. And my dad's almost finishing it, like again. Come on, you almost got it. You almost got it. That's me. So
you, I mean, there's an Irish section to South Philadelphia, but it's more towards the river, right? You
yes,
weren't in. You
I
didn't
did
grow up in
grow
that
up,
section.
I grew up in a very. I had the opposite thing that Dennis had.
Yes.
Everybody was Italian, so when Columbus Day was a huge deal, you know. But when St. Patrick's Day, they're just like, all we got is him. Why are we even marching? It's like me, my sister, and my cousin are the only Irish people in there. But the funny thing is, when I went to Newman, people from Second Street, which was predominantly Irish, thought I was from 30th and Tasker, which is predominantly Irish. It was just the opposite end.
Oh, because you weren't from that
and
neighborhood.
The 30th and Tasker people thought I was from Second Street. So then, you know, you'd start to talk and they'd say, where are you from? I'm like, 17th and Oregon. The hell are you doing there?
Yeah.
You okay? You safe? Awesome. Like, yeah. Are you safe? But that was my first exposure. And my parents had this album of the Clancy Brothers.
My goodness.
Yeah, live at Carnegie Hall. Wow. And I used to be able to even do the jokes that they would do in between the songs. I don't remember them now, but I heard the album so many times. Like a guy would say something and the whole crowd was like, whoa. You know.
I just thought of an Irish tune that we like. Clancy Lowered the Boom.
That's right.
Clancy Lowered the Boom.
He actually enjoyed
his Irish up. Clancy Lowered the Boom, 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 the boom, boom, boom.
Well, that's the funny thing because that was the Baltimore trip where we went down to a gig.
Yes, yes.
And you had a six changer CD in his car. So he was, at the time, he was learning that. You were learning some bluegrass stuff with Doc.
Yeah.
Something else. So,
and
it was on random. So we go, you know, let the Clancy, let the Clancy. And then it would go into this bluegrass thing, like. And Gebby goes, what the hell you have in here? You're like, I don't know. I had
think
to learn
Gebby was driving.
I was driving your car.
He was driving my car.
Like, what do you have in here? I think that's when Dom gave you the CD that you threw.
This CD here.
Oh, and he threw it.
I think that was a gig. On the way down, you and I were singing horn parts.
Yes.
Which is like, another skit, up! Another future skit.
And on the way back.
I think you even said, Dennis, you turned around and you're like, I love that when you sing the horn parts on top of the song.
Right.
That's on the radio, you know, that you guys are doing.
Back.
I really love that.
Let's wrap up our Irish discussion and let's, for now, skip over our lightning round.
Yes.
Because we have... We've gone long,
we're
and
not
we
insulated.
Have our special guest.
He's sleeping.
Is he? Because we have with us today as our special guest. I like to think he adds gravitas to Chico's Vibe, both in personality and in performance.
Yes.
He's the rock behind the band. He's a drummer extraordinaire. Our special guest today is Brian Farr.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian.
Hey. Mr. Gravitas.
What's happening?
Brian, thank you.
Hey, Brian.
For joining us. So what we like to ask our guests, and we're assuming you've listened to our podcast episodes before.
I have.
Okay.
That's good.
I mean, what way I kind of like to start off is we know that you came. I know that you come from a musical family, just based on, because I know your brother too. But is that true? How did you guys get into music? When did you start playing? I know our loyal podcast listeners will know that Brian also plays clarinet.
Yes.
So there's plenty of instruments that I think I know that you play. So I just kind of wonder, like, how you got started, when you first got introduced to drums.
So yes, I come from a musical family. My dad played saxophone, and he grew up in the Mummers. And as a youngster, awesome. That's all I ever wanted to do was be in the Mummers. And I guess around 9 years old, my dad said, "We'll pick an instrument." And so I started playing drums. And around 9 or 10 years old, started taking lessons. And by 12, I was in Frelinger String Band. So I grew up doing that along with my two brothers. My older brother Dan played sax, and you guys know my younger brother Chris played saxophone as well. And like I said, my dad played saxophone. So very musical family.
Yeah.
And my dad, I guess I was around 13 or 14, started bringing me on string band jobs.
Ah.
So that was my first gigging experience. He would just bring me along with a small drum set and just start learning. Probably that's an Irish song as well. all kinds of mum tunes. As I go through high school, I started getting more serious. We had a really good high school jazz band program where I went, and then went to Temple University for music education. Yeah.
Nice.
Where'd you go to high school? You went to Gamp, didn't you?
No, I went to Overbrook Regional in Jersey.
Brian, I always assumed you were the younger brother. I'm just saying, compared to Chris.
I did too, John. Yeah. Seriously.
I am 2 years older than Chris.
Okay.
All right.
Two years younger than Dan.
Ah.
Okay.
So, yes, I went to Temple, and during that whole time, I started gigging with, all kinds of different groups. I think I had a first wedding band with my older brother Dan and a couple other guys. The name of that band was The Family. After the Manson Family.
Oh, man.
And I also started playing a lot down Atlantic City. The name of who I took lessons from, Jimmy Quayle. Some of you guys know.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Started giving me gigs down like the Showboat, doing Dixieland stuff down there, and all the different lounges when there was tons of work down in Atlantic City. Right. So started working down there. And then after that, just different jazz groups, trios, quartets, and then different wedding bands. And then eventually led me to you guys.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
You were in the Exceptions, right? You played with them?
The Exceptions. Yep.
Yeah,
I was in Mike Droz's band for a while.
All about me. Yeah. All about Mike.
All about Mike, yes. Which was then the connection to you guys.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Started subbing in with you guys after that.
Yeah. Right.
Brian, do you consider yourself, because I'm the least sophisticated musician of of the five of us on here. Do you, and so this is could be, Nick, do you consider yourself a jazz musician first? Because when I hear you play jazz, I'm like, yeah, you know, it just feels so right when you play jazz. I mean, or you consider yourself all styles?
I feel like I'm more of like a jack of all trades.
Okay.
I love to play jazz, but I feel like, more of a jack of all trades. I can sort of function in a lot of different styles.
Right.
When Brian's not on a gig, I have trauma when multiple people aren't on a gig. It includes Ed, includes Gabby, includes Dennis. Everybody in the room, pretty much. But Brian in particular, it's like, what's happening to this gig? Because you're such a rock and you are so good.
Yeah.
Agreed.
You know the parts, but you are artistic about them. It's just so good.
Right.
So I wanted to throw that in so people knew.
Definitely.
And it's true, John.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a real quick Brian comment. There's something he does that I absolutely love. It's that moment before the gig where some people are still getting their sound check and and maybe we're going to do this tune, maybe we're not. And I got a trumpet guy saying to me, what is it going to be, this or this? I'm looking over, I'm waiting, and George is doing something with Yaddish. And then out of the blue, Brian will just go, 2, 3, yeah! 4. And my stomach will go. And then you look and he's got this grin on his face, yeah. Like, I gotcha.
You know what? He always has a grin on his face. Dance to the music. That's during the set. He knows I'm not going to have my horn.
Because oh, so I know funny. Chico likes to.
Yes, that's true.
Right in as quickly as possible. And, yeah, and then I start up. I'm looking over at the horns. I'm like, they're not ready.
One, two, three, four. Like,
man. Hey Ed, I think you're. I think you're thinking when I do this.
That's it.
And there's this moment sheer panic, like where I'm like, I don't know what song it is, and what's great is when both songs begin with horns, and it could be either one that you're like, bonk, bonk, I don't know. You
know, Brian, do you have a, like, in terms of pop rock drummers, do you have a favorite? Do you have a drummer drummers you like, bands you like? I'm just curious.
Well, I'm on a little bit of a Toto and Journey. I went to see Toto and Journey last night.
Oh yeah!
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. So as far as like pop rock drummers, speaking of Toto, Jeff Porcaro.
Yeah. So good.
Who
yeah.
was a great drummer. He did hundreds of recordings.
Yeah.
He was a drummer on Thriller, all through the Toto stuff. Right. Michael McDonald, just the list goes on.
He was like on the Boss Gags.
Yeah, he was on that. Just Boss a good, Gags, yeah. real tight pocket yeah. player.
Of course, John Bonham, Neil Peart.
Can I ask you, this is an ignorant non-drummer question. A lot of times when you see a drummer and they have a huge set, my heart sinks. Because, but he's not that way.
No.
And I don't, you know, so when I... Like, Brian can take the set he has, which is not a Neil Peart set,
right?
Yeah. And just make magic
play
out of it.
Yeah, sure.
Neil Peart can take his set and make magic out of it. But there's, it feels like my bias is if a drummer has a huge set, that it's compensation. Is that true, or is that me just not assessing it correctly?
Oh, there's definitely instances where that is the case, for sure.
Yeah.
But I, as far as, since I'm carting my stuff around, I bring... The bare necessities.
Yeah.
I mean, and for the Chico's Vibe gig, that's
right.
I bring what I need.
Right.
You know, and I don't
you
need
see at home in your practice room, he's got like 12 sets of tom toms,
double bass drums.
they all go.
He got a quadruple bass drums.
His wife's like, "Will you knock it off?" Yeah,
absolutely.
Do you have favorite Chico's Vibe songs to play?
Ooh.
Well, you don't have to have a favorite because if you ask Dennis what his favorite,
I don't like any. Of them.
Yes. See, you don't have to like any of them. I'm just curious.
I never get sick at playing Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like a super hard song to play, but it's just such a great song.
Great groove, right?
Yeah.
God, any of the jazz stuff that we do earlier in the night, I like doing all that kind of stuff.
Mm. That makes sense.
We need to do Smoke on the Water more. How about that?
That'd be cool.
Well, you have to bring, you got to bring your daughter out more then.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And that guy was getting real intense. There was a guy with a mohawk, and he was like, "Play that thing!" And she was like, "Daddy, why is he yelling at me? Why are the people so scary, Daddy?"
Well, I remember practicing those tunes with her before she came out. I'm like, "If we're gonna do this, we're gonna do it right."
That's right.
Yeah,
she nailed it.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a video on YouTube when we were at Keenan's. The first time she did that, she got up on stage with her purple bass. And I'll never forget her face after we finished. I think the first one was Smoke on the Water. Oh, yeah. And after we finished the tune, well, first when we start playing the song and then she comes in with the don't. Place went nuts.
Yes,
but then when we finished the song, when we finished the song, we hit the last, boom, you know. That place goes nuts, and I just remember her face like, "Oh my God!" Like, because it was so loud. And then when we went into Enter Sandman, the place just went nuts. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah, that was a great memory. I appreciate you guys letting her do that.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, it's on YouTube, folks, if you want to search it.
Yeah.
Hey, Bri, as far as sax players, Chris Farr, Ed Mount, who's easier to work with? I didn't really know your brother that well, and I saw him play with the University of the Arts Big Band when I was in Westchester, and he is phenomenal. And this is probably like 1993 that I was hearing him, and so I was always a little intimidated. Yeah. So he comes out, and I think I jokingly kind of said to Brian, like, "Oh, Chris is here. All right, okay, I got to be on. I got to get my good read." And
yeah.
So he tells Chris, and Chris gets the clipboard out, starts writing stuff when I'm playing solos and like shaking his head, like, "No, no." And I'm like, "Oh man!" Oh my God. And then I figured you guys were messing with me. So I hope you were.
Yeah, he said to me, "He said check this out. I'm gonna mess with it."
We met Chris years back when he and you were there too. I think when we did the thing in D.C. with Frazier,
right?
And either Vic or Big Paul couldn't make it.
Oh, and
Chris came down. Yeah. Chris came down on sax. Yeah. On alto.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. It was like I think the very first one we did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where we didn't.
Is that the one that was sort of like in a house?
We were kind of like in this room.
Yeah.
And that's when like Iran Barkley and Ken Norton, they were all there.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So. He had to be on alto then because we had Vic, because I remember Vic was in like the VIP room smoking Cubans and drinking that real expensive, what is that whiskey? It's like $100 a glass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The brandy or whatever.
Oh, I forget the name of it. Remy Martin or something
that. Yeah.
Like I passed by and it was like all glass doors, windows and doors as you're going down this corridor, you look right in. And I see Vic in there. I'm like, he's got the big cigar in his mouth. I think that's where, right when we ran into Kenny Norton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the biggest person I ever
saw. Yes. One thing we should also mention that Brian has a daughter. It's a very accomplished actress.
Been in lots of professional
productions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's in the genes because your wife's a dance teacher too, right? Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah, my wife Janine is a dance teacher. Yeah, awesome. She danced up in New York for a few years before we got married, and then,
that's awesome. And then, I didn't know that.
She's been a teacher ever since.
Did
yeah,
you so did you guys meet through music, by any chance, or?
We met because she went to the University of the Arts.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Chris was dating a dancer friend of hers, and that was actually through Chris that I met. Janine.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
Chris is very instrumental in your life.
No pun intended. See that? Hey, other things our listeners.
No pun intended, right?
During the pandemic, when we did a Facebook live broadcast from Gebby's house, and we do Sergeant Pepper with a little help from my friends.
Right.
And so it's broadcast live. You know, I sing Sergeant Pepper. And then we get through the whole thing, Sergeant Pepper, with a little help. And I check my phone, and I look down, and it's my girlfriend, Kelly, who texted me, "Brian Farr is so good." So I'm like, I sang the first song.
Yes.
And so Brian is a vocalist as well, and he's taking on more and more vocal.
And I notice Gebby's starting to give him all the background parts. They just... blows right over me because I can't hear anymore. And I'm like, oh, there's a harmony and Brian's singing it. Like, what's going on?
But you sang before, right? If Brian is, as I recall, I mean, in the other bands,
mostly background.
Okay,
I'm not sure. Maybe it's a lead here and there.
And the mom gigs, like, "Won't you come home, but barely? Won't you come home?" Like tunes like that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, only a shanty, an old shanty town. Okay, sorry.
I'm definitely more comfortable being in the background for sure. But I enjoy singing when you guys need me. But I've always been like a support background guy.
We're gonna talk about that.
I will put out there was one time I remember we did, because it's a song, it's a simple song, but I really like it. It's called Tennessee Whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And Brian sang that one time.
Brian sang it, yeah.
But okay, so now we're going to go deep into the Chico's Vibe set list attic.
Uh-oh.
So we talk about, you know.
It's a lot of
Attics are usually high.
It's packing dust.
Eight basements are deep.
We go deep into the Chico's Vibe set list basement.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
We're downstairs in the attic.
Do I need to go to the shed?
Or cave, I said, maybe.
Okay. We go deep into the Chico's Vibe set list bat cave.
That's good.
So every gig we talk about, what I call our iconic Chico's Vibe songs.
Right.
But I thought we could run through some of our... I have a list of songs that I consider less played or less... I don't know, less popular.
Don't
we just
mention
don't play.
Steely Dan just so I don't have to hear Gavin.
Oh, come on! That's two of the songs on
oh,
here!
Shots fired.
Oh. So it's Love It, Keep It, or Trash It. And to just give you an example, the Boogie Shoes medley.
Wait, we do it all the time. What do you mean deep?
Let him explain.
Let the man speak.
For God's sake. I hate with a burning passion the Boogie Shoes medley. I think we should keep it in the set list because when we start it, the crowd goes, yay!
We go, oh, fuck, not this song.
I can't tell you how much I hate Boogeyman.
I still hear Jerosa in my head going, Matt, you wrote that every time? Because it's bump. A-G, bump, A-G.
And it goes
for a page and a half of just that. And Mike just turns to Matt and goes, yeah, you really wrote that all out? You could put a thing there and say.
And Matt goes, I was on the toilet. Yeah.
Look at the big guy dance. That's
right. All right,
anyway,
so go ahead.
So that's the premise.
Yeah, I got you.
Ready? So it's going to be Dennis, Gabby, Ed, Brian.
Right.
Black Cow.
Keep it.
Love it.
Keep it.
Keep it.
Cake by the Ocean.
Throw it out.
Trash it.
Trash it. Yeah.
Yeah, why do we do that? Sorry, Brian. Go ahead.
Trash it.
Close to You.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Keep it.
Quando, quando, quando.
Love it.
Keep it.
Keep it.
Fat. Keep it. Sorry, Brian. Keep it. Fat Bottom Girls.
Love it.
Love it.
Keep it.
Keep it.
Okay. Beginnings.
Love it.
Keep it.
I love it.
Keep it.
Dixie Chicken.
Trash it.
Love it.
Trash it. And then,
I said that, and then
burn the can. Then,
no, I do love that song. Though.
Trash it.
Oh! Now it comes out.
Uh-oh.
Land Down Under.
Keep it.
Keep it.
Keep it.
Trash it.
Trash it, man.
Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Trash it.
I love it.
Me too. I'm sorry.
Trash it.
Trash that.
He ain't heavy. He's my brother.
Love it.
Love it.
Keep it.
Keep it.
Hollywood Swinging.
Trash it.
Keep it.
Trash it.
Keep it.
Bad, Bad Leroy Brown.
Love it.
Trash it.
Keep it.
Keep it.
Come on, Eileen.
Trash that MF-er tonight.
I love that song.
Trash it.
Trash it twice.
Man, good man.
In the Mood.
Keep it.
Keep it.
I enjoy it. I'll keep it.
It's kind of already trashed, isn't it? We never
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
It goes on forever.
Only one or two questions.
You can leave your hat on.
Keep it.
Love it.
Nothing good ever happened at a gig during that song. Right. So I'm going to say trash it.
Okay, this is the Bruce Springsteen segment of 10th Avenue Freeze Out.
Trash it.
Keep it.
Keep it.
Keep it.
Thunder Road.
Trash it.
Love it.
Trash it.
Trash it.
Riders on the Storm.
Love it.
Love it.
Trash it.
Keep it.
There you go. This is a deep one. Rock the Casbah.
Ooh.
keep it.
Yeah, keep it.
I love the song, but nobody ever dances when we play it. So from a business point of view, trash it.
That's good, Ed.
Trash it.
All right. Waiting for the world to change.
Hate it.
Love it.
Trash it.
Keep it.
There you go.
I think him and Gabby.
That was kind of fun.
Him and Gabby are texting each other.
Yeah. It was.
Gabby's like, "You want to stay in those guys? You like your new suits and your
you want to sing that song?
You like buying nice shoes? Well, you like this goddamn song."
Yeah. You should keep that segment in.
Yes, we have like 100 songs that we could.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We could add that. Yeah, that was pretty good, and we kept the lightning round.
The goal is for none of us to be friends anymore by the end of the episode.
Right.
All right, so that brings us to the song from the set list, which is a more popular, traditional, like I said, iconic Chico's Vibe song. This song from the set list, Dennis Chiquito picked on our last podcast. It is an Ed Mount feature.
Oh, thanks, guys. And
trash it.
Kev, we're not playing that anymore.
Oh, Chuck, I'm sorry.
He just keeps using that at home. Trash it.
I'm doing that from now on the gigs.
Did you see the phone bill? Trash it.
Hey, let's do Brown Eyed Girl. Trash it.
Listen, there's more songs that I hate, but that we have to keep. Like, do you think I want to sing Run Around Sue even like one more note of it in my life? It kicks ass. It's a go-to song, you know.
You know, and you know what the worst moment of my life on a gig is? When we go, and I hear, and I'm like, oh, no, not this again. All right, so go ahead, John.
All right, Love Shack. Check by the B-52s. It was released on June 20th, 1989. It's our most recent song that we've discussed on their own. I think they've all been from the 60s and 70s.
Right.
Wow. June 20th, 1989. It eventually went to number 3 on the Billboard charts. It was one of only 2 B-52 songs. It was kind of viewed as their comeback, this whole album. It was one of only 2 B-52 songs that went top 10. And I was curious if you guys... I got all kinds of Love Shack songs.
Rock Lobster?
Yeah, Rock Lobster.
That would seem like it was, but that didn't go top 10.
Where you want
yes!
to.
Yes!
Roam around Rome
also
world.
Went to number 3. It was off the same album. The song was produced by Don Was. That his name may sound familiar to me. He was a producer, a bunch of other artists, but he was in a band called Was Not Was.
Oh, yeah.
And Was Not Was, Gebby and I have
That's
played
right.
a Was Not Was song.
Which one?
Boom, boom, chakalaka, like a boom, 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 chakalaka, boom, boom. Do you remember
dinosaur?
That song?
Yes.
Walk the Dinosaur. No.
That's a was not was. I'm almost stunned that we have never.
Get on the floor. Everybody walk the dinosaur.
I'm almost stunned that we've
oh,
never.
Oh, that's that song?
Yeah.
That's a was not was.
I think the song is a fossil now.
Oh,
oh my God.
Trash it.
Anyway, just a side fact about the B-52s, just as a Beatles fan, they can kind of legitimately claim to being partially responsible for John Lennon's kickstarting his career in the late 70s, early 80s.
Get the F out of here! What the hell are you talking
so
about?
So I don't need to read the rest. Why, you ask?
Lennon needed somebody to kickstart.
Will you let me get through this?
No, I'm going to stop you right there.
Let him finish.
B-52s.
Wait, so do you know the song Rock Lobster?
Yeah.
So it goes back to Rock Lobster. So Lennon heard that and thought he heard a Yoko influence in that song. And he's like, these kids really get what we're doing. And then he decided. So that was like 78, 79, Rock Lobster.
Okay.
And it inspired him to start to write. Music.
Interesting.
Sure. Yeah. Didn't inspire him.
Okay.
He heard a Yoko influence that did not inspire John Lennon.
Anyway, but back to Love Shack. Hey, I was always curious. So Ed's the feature vocalist on the song. Do you know the name of the B-52 vocalist that you
Oh, no, I don't know his name.
Rick Anthony?
Yes.
Wait.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
Producer Matt?
Fred Schneider. Fred Schneider is correct. Producer Matt gets that right. In 1989, I look at the top 100 songs, you know, for the year and how the song fit in. It was number 47 for the year 1989, so pretty popular song. The top five, I think, is a it's a disappointing top five.
In 89, you're saying?
89.
Okay.
Number one is a song I have never listened through the whole way because it annoys me. It's Look Away by Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
It's just because it's not what I want Chicago to be.
But it was that wasn't Peter Cetera either. No. It was another singer. Yeah.
Trash it.
Yeah.
Number two is My Prerogative by Bobby Brown. That's a good song.
That's all right.
We've played number three one time. Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Oh, God.
Well, we played it more than
every
once.
Every Rose.
Did we?
More than once.
Okay.
And you sing it.
Yeah. Number four was Paula Abdul was big in 89. Straight Up was number
straight
four.
Straight Up.
Oh, man.
Miss You Much by Janet Jackson was number five.
Wait, what was number five?
Miss You Much.
Miss You Much.
By Janet Jackson. We have actually done number seven before, and that's Wind Beneath My Wings. You guys have done that, right?
Yeah.
That's like when I see that on the set list.
That's your Hardbud Dwyer.
Was that the year Beaches came out, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
Milli Vanilli was big in 89.
Wait, what was number six?
I didn't write it down.
Okay.
I think it was another Paula
Smoke on
Paula
the
Abdul.
Paula Abdul song.
Smoke on the Water.
And just something, number nine was Baby, I Love Your Way, Free Bird by Will to Power. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Number nine for the
year.
But anyway, let's get back.
Yes.
Yeah.
To Love Shack.
To Chico's Vibe, Love Shack. So this is I'll call it Chico's Vibe original. I don't think it was sourced from any other band. I think we got a request at some point that we do it.
Is that?
It started from his father.
His father.
Producer Matt.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are pointing at producer Matt.
Jim Kelly bugged me and Gabby for 10 solid years. Probably.
Every house party, every party that they came to.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Until maybe we had to play it for a wedding or something.
I think that's what we had to do.
Yeah. Brian Farr, I'm just curious what you think of the song Love Shack from a drummer's perspective.
It's a great song. Yeah.
Really?
I like it. I mean,
wait. Love it, keep it, trash it.
Gotta keep it.
You gotta keep it.
Do you like when I play or when Chris plays?
First of all,
I gotta let it go.
I think Ed does a wonderful job.
He's a great Fred Schneider. We should do Rock Lobster.
Oh,
no, we're not doing that.
Ed would be great at it.
Ed is so very entertaining.
Down,
well, you do the down part, everybody in the crowd will go be on the
Guys, shh, he's talking about me.
Oh, sorry.
He's talking about me.
Ed is so entertaining.
Yes.
You know, it's like I love sitting over there on the side and watching, unless like I put it in the set list sometimes when you're not there. And like I gotta sing some part, and Gabby's always, Dan, don't put that in the set list. You know, if Parky's not here, you know he doesn't want me to sing background anymore.
Well, now Brian Farr can sing it. Look,
that's
it.
Right.
Problem solved.
It's you, Brian.
I was gonna say when Ed's not on the gig and we do it, Chris plays the melody. Yeah.
with just the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
this reminds me, as Dennis and I are drinking Renault Winery Champagne.
Yes.
We did a gig there in February, and it was like
it turned out
good.
Yeah.
It started out, it was 12 degrees.
I left the house, it was like 13 degrees. I sent Gabby a text like,
and Ed had
it's 13 effing degrees.
Ed had to sub the gig, and I show up, and Chris is on the bandstand. I'm like, Chris, you didn't have to do this. You could have said no.
What
was so funny.
What was so funny, too, is we're all, like, bundled up. Like, we're going to freeze to death on this stage because the last time, you know, that we played over at the other place, Harbaugh Village.
Yeah, right.
And they had the heater blowing in. Well, it was blowing right in front of Brian. Well, Brian, by the end of the gig, was down to his shorts. He was wearing a t-shirt and shorts because it was so hot.
I wasn't getting any heat on my side.
Sweating on that gig.
It was great. It was great. Amazing. So back to Love Shack.
Yeah, back to Love Shack. What were you gonna, you were complimenting Ed, and I broke that flow.
Yeah, I think Ed just is a great entertainer, number one, in general.
So anyway,
but
when
on that,
you know,
song. People respond to
yes.
what he's doing.
Yes.
Thank you. The Red Rocker.
Thank you.
That's right. And he's the Irish assassin yes. for March, the which is my favorite of all the names you came up with.
Well, you know what? Matt Gallagher told me that. Matt Gallagher's like, call him the Irish assassin.
Oh, okay. There's a couple of... What are the,
I was insulted one time. A guy on break said, why are you from Krypton? Oh. And I'm like, because of my physique, obviously. Obviously. Oh, okay.
The Red Rocker.
You're the saxophone superhero.
Yeah, exactly.
The Crimson Crusader.
Still working on the outfit.
Oh, my God. But Ed, how do you like Love Shack?
Oh, I love the fact that I'm in a band. I'm
waiting for you to break out like an Ethel Merman voice.
The three of you guys.
That
are great even. Vocalists.
Oh.
Brian, sorry, I forgot about the television man.
No, he's talking about him.
I forgot about Max Headroom. So I'm in a band with guys that can sing incredibly, and I get to say that I'm also a singer.
You are,
right? Because of that. But I'm really just shouting raises, you know.
Yeah, but
jukebox money.
That's what he does in the song. That's what works.
But I love that part about the band too. I mean, there's always been a moment for like a spotlight to shine on a particular person.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Except even for Tony. Though,
yeah. Except to, well, when Tony's toilet becomes a hit show, they're going to have a question.
Tony from the toilet.
Tunes of Tony from the toilet.
Tony's
toilet tune. He's not multitasking. It's just the acoustics, folks. So you hear that splash. He's like dun, 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 splash. Sorry. But no, I love that about the band. Everybody gets like a moment to shine.
So that does that get us through? Are there other? There's got to be some good love. One thing about when we play Love Shack, I think we do the album version.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever longer. Noticed that sometimes the audience knows the single version.
Yeah, they're the ready to go bang, bang,
like,
bang right
oh,
away.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that too.
And I'm like, wait, we're coming.
Not about yet.
That's
not
when yet. You should yell at them like you yelled at Tony.
Do you guys not get the concept of the Love Shack?
And they just cry. It's like a four-year-old girl in the front just crying.
Yeah, you know what? I might do that, but I don't have a microphone on that song. Eh? I'm sitting off to the side like enjoying your act.
Oh, another dumb thing I'll do, you know, because I do. I do the girl vocal, and depending on where we are, sometimes I'll throw in we're heading down the Garden State Parkway.
Or, yeah, yeah, so go, yeah.
And Schuylkill the only Express person who ever reacts is Ed. He's like, yes, nobody else.
I noticed that when
nobody else in the place.
I actually said one time, see what he did there.
I hear it, and I just I have no reaction.
I figure somebody in the audience will be like, he said Garden State Parkway. That may get us to the end of. Love Shack, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
Great Chico's vibe song. People love it. Brian said keep it, so I think we're good. So that gets us to the... Oh, we have to pick.
Yeah. Pick what?
Oh, yeah.
We have to pick next, assuming there will be an episode 8, which I think there will be, right?
I think so.
How's our listenership, do you know?
This is the high point of
We still have a couple
it's
more.
It's like when you play Paperboy, they're like, you lose the subscriptions or you gain subscriptions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay.
We still have a couple more
month,
musicians
so
to get through.
Me.
Yeah. Pressure's on Brian, because I think our highest listenership was the Rick Anthony podcast, right? Yeah.
I think my dad's still looking for it on the radio. I still have to try to get to, he'd be listening if he understood how to get to a podcast. You know. But.
So we have to pick our next song to discuss, our song from the set list. Right. So Dennis picked the last one. I think Gebby's turn is next. We could maybe offer up to Brian if he wants to pick one.
Brian?
He won't be here next time.
I know, but that means he can subject us to talk about it.
Right. Trash it.
Yeah. Can we vote on that track?
Let's see. How about the Toto song?
Oh, Africa.
Africa.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Lots of good stories, because I think of pain when I think that we do that song really well, and it hurts me so much. So there's plenty of good stories.
There's that part two at the end, Gabby, where you're like, I remember seeing Chaplinsky out in the audience, and he was just like looking the whole time, and then you sang that, and he just did this like.
Who was it there?
Matt Chaplinsky.
Yeah.
Because they were, him and his brothers were big. We played that and Rosanna when I was in the band.
Gotcha. Okay.
So as soon as that drum beat started, I could just see he was just listening, you know, attentively. And then,
is he the drummer, Matt Chaplinsky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that guy, man. And he's cool guy.
And you do that thing at the end, Gab.
Mm-hmm.
And he just had this look like,
Just to talk, you brought up Rosanna, and we have Brian, and he talked Jeff Porcaro, and that Rosanna drum.
Oh yeah,
pattern is really cool.
That's a classic.
Yeah.
That's
a classic one.
We used to end that tune like they did it in concert. It goes.
If we ever do it, that's not how we're going to
trash it.
That drum beat of Rosanna was influenced by Fool in the Rain.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, John Bonham, right? He kind of mashed it with that and like a Bo Diddley, kind of the Bo Diddley.
That's the one with the recorders like, he's a fool on the hill. No, kidding.
No, that's Fool on the Hill.
I could swear that drum beat was influenced by the B-52s.
It was.
Oh, my God. Same time.
Rock Lobster.
Same time they influenced Lennon.
I'm not even going to send you any links or videos because it's not going to matter. It's like the word vintner.
That was a good little thing we had.
Uh-oh.
So let's close.
Yeah.
Give a song.
What do I got to do?
Pick a song that you would like the band, we don't do now, that you would like us to do. It could be a song that maybe you know we'll never do, but you think we should do.
Mike, it could be a Judy Garland song.
Yeah, it could be something you heard this week. But I love to play the song.
It could be a song you heard at the concert.
Could be a commercial
song
jingle.
I heard the other day, and I thought it'd be good for Parky. Summer of 69 by Brian Adams.
It'd be
a good summer down the shore song.
Yeah.
That is a good suggestion.
He's got good ideas, this guy.
Yeah. All right. My next?
Yes, go.
All right. I would love to do The Ocean by Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Put horns in it.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, have you ever heard of the band? We opened for Bonnarama.
Bonnarama.
They do that.
They did that. Yes. Yes. But I think it would be cool.
Yeah.
I know I said this on another episode, but Feeling Stronger Every Day by Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
I love that end.
Good song.
Chico.
All right. Well, I'm going to pick another Zeppelin song, Black Dog.
Oh.
That would be impossible to do.
But. Yeah, you know what? Talking of that, since we have Brian here.
Yeah.
Brian, do you think there was a timed between the riffs that they play in Black Dog? You know, hey, mama, say the way you move, gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove. You know what I mean?
I almost felt like I heard a little bit of a stick
click.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was a cue or.
I felt like that might have been some sort of a cue. I don't know for sure, but I remember hearing like a little bit of a stick click in there, and then maybe they were trying to mute it a little bit more. But
and,
I feel like that
and
was
I
some
lose
sort of
one
cue.
In that song. Yeah. I lose the. What is the count? Like, is there like an extra measure?
I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know if you would count it 1, 2, 3, 4 or just 1, 2, 3 like that.
Yeah. Since we're talking Zeppelin, I don't know if you guys have ever seen, it's not great, but it's interesting. Is there's a Frank Zappa version of Stairway to Heaven where it's sort of reggae. But then the guitar solo is all horns.
Oh, really?
Is it the transcribed solo?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's really, it's really cool.
Check it out.
Like, yeah, it's fun to listen to, but you know,
I'm gonna listen to it on the way home.
Yeah,
I like those crazy Zappa covers.
Yeah,
I love that when I said Black Dog, it took us off on like this great.
Wait, you took us off on a tangent?
Everybody said like boring songs. Yeah. And nobody wanted to talk about them and shit. You know.
He's the, not only is he one of the kings of Irish music, he is king of podcasting.
It's like the off-ramp signs all covered and obscured by trees, but you know there's a road back there, and all the guys think you're just driving into a tree, but you know that there's a road.
Yes.
It's okay. Just like that.
You have to, you know what? We have that.
We have that.
We have that.
I don't
know, and that brings us to the end.
Yeah.
Episode 7 of the Vibecast. Lucky number 7. We'll see you next month, everyone.
And happy St. Patrick's Day.
Brian, thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian had no clothes on that entire interview.
Sorry for the delay.
This is the theme to Gary's show. The theme to Gary's show. Gary called me up and asked if I would write his theme song. It's almost halfway finished. How do you like it so
far? I remember that.
Brian just gave us the finger.